It's Fiddlin' Around on 96.1 The Hound.
New York as an artist has taught me a lot about why I do what I do. Mm. Well, I think it's an extremely hard town to be creative in. Mm. New York has kind of instilled in me a kind of a deeper why.
I'm Alexander Wren. You can call me Al. And this is Fiddlin' Around, WNYU. Let's do it.
Thank you.
I wanna take you like the subway.
What up, everybody? You're listening to Fiddlin' Around. My name is Calista Case, and I'm your host, and I'm so happy today to have the troubadour himself. It's Alexander Wren. How you doing, Al?
It is I, Alexander Wren.
My goodness. I'm so glad I finally got you on the show. We've been trying for a couple weeks, and it is just such a pleasure to have you in the studio to play some tunes and to chat it up right here in New York City. So, thanks for coming in.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. You're from Fort Wayne, Indiana,
Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Well, I just wanted to start us off with a quick little question.
Okay.
Who wore it best, Coney Island, Brooklyn, or Coney Island, Fort Wayne?
Dang. Now that is a deep cut.
I know. It's a toughie.
How do you know about that stuff?
It's famous. It's Fort Wayne's famous Coney Island.
Yeah, we got Sweetwater. We got Coney Island, we got DeBrand Fine Chocolates.
Ooh, yes.
I would say that Coney Island might be better in Fort Wayne.
Wow, that is a huge hot take, especially here in New York, and as someone who lives in New York right now.
No, Brooklyn definitely wore it best.
Oh, yeah. Have you been
just trying
to Coney
get
Island, Brooklyn?
I have. I've been to both of the Coney Islands.
Wow.
Yeah. So I am well equipped to answer this question.
Thank goodness. Yeah. I knew you could handle it.
But if you ever do find yourselves in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
What's your order?
Might pop by Coney Island. I mean, hot dogs. two hot dogs, decaf coffee.
Classic. Yeah. Just classic. Well, thank you so much for that. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
If you're ever stumbling upon Fort Wayne, you know where the heck to go.
Fort Fun.
Definitely. So, Fort Wayne, number one.
Yes.
Then you found your way to Nashville, as many a musician do.
Yes.
But then something called you to the Big Apple.
Yes.
It very much did. Can you tell us about... I know it was during the pandemic, so it was a big transitionary time for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
But what were some defining factors that led you into New York City?
You know, that's a fun question, because New York City was, in many ways, New York City didn't really make sense for me. I think that if it was purely, you know, if I was purely thinking out of career interests, I would have stayed in Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
But I think something just intuitively, instinctually felt right about New York. And I had, you know, been before a couple times playing shows in town, and I had liked it. But there was real no reason for me to, you know, want to, you know, sell everything I own, and my car included, and move to New York City. So I do think that mostly what it was being from the Midwest, and then living in the South for so long, there was something kind of dangerous about New York, in a good way.
Yeah.
That I felt like, I needed maybe to evolve, you know, as a person.
Totally. I love that. New York is a level up in many, many ways. I mean, it's just... It's hard to make a move to New York as someone who's also done that. But you get a visceral feeling, you know, that it's like, this is what I need right now.
Life can be really, really great in New York City.
Mm, totally.
Life can also really, really suck in New York City.
So sucky.
Both things are true.
Yeah, definitely. And they can coexist.
They can, yeah.
Well, with that said, what is one or some of the most important things that you've learned living in New York City that you couldn't have learned in Nashville or... Fort Wayne or anywhere else?
Whoa. I think that New York City has taught me a lot of things. I think, first of all, New York City, maybe in a cliche way, has taught me that I remember being on the subway when I first moved to town. And there was a woman who obviously looked like a New Yorker. And she was wearing a shirt that said, "Life's tough, but so am I." And I thought, well, gosh dang, what a great song title. But I think there is something to be said about being in New York. I feel like that's taught me about my resilience. And it's just taught me to really want things. And I don't know if that makes any sense, but to really kind of go after the things that you're feeling called to.
Definitely.
I don't know if that... So I think also New York as an artist has taught me a lot about why I do what I do. I think it's an easy town. Well, I think it's an extremely hard town to be a creative in. And it's a very easy town to kind of lose sight of the why and the grind. So I think that New York has kind of instilled in me a kind of a deeper why.
Totally. It definitely stirs up a fight. You know, you can't just wait for things to come to you.
No. Yeah, you got to be feisty.
Definitely.
You got to want it.
And you want it.
Yeah, you got to want to do your laundry when it's done outside, and you got to drag your stuff a couple blocks to the laundromat.
Yep. Even walking up your 5-floor walk up, it's you got to have that drive. So I appreciate all that the city does for me and you.
Yeah.
And also, it's got the greatest coffee shop per capita, I'm sure.
It does. If you go to coffee shops,
if you like coffee shops.
It's got a lot of diners, though, which in my opinion is far superior to
really? Do you think so?
Yeah.
What is your diner recommendation?
Well, I am partial to the Viand on 85th because I live on West 85th.
True.
So actually this morning, I kind of have this ritual where in the mornings I go and read the weekend paper and I drink decaf coffee because I don't do caffeine. I drink decaf coffee, and here's kind of a funny thing. Since moving to New York, I actually drink it with cream. It's kind of strange. Yeah.
Interesting.
So, I read the paper, and I bring my legal pad, and I kind of diddle down whatever's happening in my head in the moment. And, I love a good diner.
I love
a good diner. You know, all the pies and the display case.
And like the linoleum.
Yes.
It's
very,
just so
very
perfect.
Long Island.
And you feel like you're in a movie. I mean, just like that.
Exactly.
So, it's aesthetic in the right way, in a non-commercial way.
Oh, for sure. I do have to say, too, that my diner on 85th is the actual diner that Jerry Seinfeld goes to.
Are you serious?
I'm going to swear. I sh** you not. no cursing, please. I kid you not. I have looked over my shoulder a couple times to see Jerry Seinfeld, and I'll be talking with the, you know, waitress, being like, hello. They're like, yeah, he gets an omelet with cheddar and, you know.
Oh, my God.
Wow. So now I really feel like I'm in a movie.
That's insane. Wow.
Upper West Side represent.
Literally, get out there. If you're a fan, the two most important people in the world, Jerry Seinfeld and Alexander Wren, go to that diner.
Yeah, I was thinking to myself, the last time I saw Jerry, I thought to myself, man, I wonder if Jerry is looking over his shoulder thinking, is that Big Al?
Oh, I'm crying. Yeah. You are the main character.
I am Jerry Seinfeld's
muse. So.
Anyway, I enjoy diners.
I love it. I love it so much. I also enjoy them. Well, I mean, going along with hashtag my life is a movie, I just wanted to say a little congratulations on your singles that are not so new now, but they were released back in November.
Yeah.
Internal Jukebox and Big Red Blues, which you heard some of today. And I swear, I was listening to Big Red Blues this morning, and I felt like I was in a Wes Anderson movie.
Oh, man, that's so sweet.
Yes, absolutely. Thanks. Amidst, like, the craziness of New York City, I suddenly was, like, transported. And I just love that about your music. And that takes me into a little curiosity.
Yeah.
Because you create such a wonderful sense of atmosphere and world building in your songs. So what would you say your relationship with your imagination is? is specifically in your songwriting.
Whoa. What is my relationship with my imagination?
Yeah, how familiar with your imagination are you? You hang out, you vibe, you chill.
Yeah, that's actually a cool question. I haven't quite thought about that in that way. I think that one kind of interesting thing about my writing that I've noticed throughout the years is when I first started doing my thing, releasing music under this name, which has been close to 10 years now, I wrote very inward, kind of introspective, very, I don't want to say serious, but things that kind of took themselves seriously.
Totally.
And I think as I keep doing my thing and as time progresses, I am less interested in, like, this confessional approach and more interested in a, I hesitate to say creative approach, but more of, like, say, for example, Big Rig Blues, it's not really lived experience, right? But it's kind of a facet of myself. It's that creativity, it's that imagination, if you will. Imagination. And along with that, I think also for example, like Internal Jukebox, that is in a way an introspective tune, in that I go inside myself to kind of you know, bring something out.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I think it kind of doesn't take itself too seriously. It doesn't take itself too seriously. And
definitely.
And I like that kind of lighthearted, approach.
Yeah, totally. It's definitely paying off. I super resonate
Thanks.
With it. I mean, I think it's easy to resonate with things that are very internal and, like, you know, another person's story, but also the stories of things that are completely, like, outside of a listener's reach are also, like, so close in other ways. And I'm really loving this turn for Alexander Wren.
Thank you.
I'm excited to hear more in that regard in the future. And also, you will have heard on the show just before this. But in that same vein, talking about Big Rig Blues specifically, I know it's not specific lived experience, but have you ever driven an 18-wheeler? Been in an 18-wheeler?
I have not. Spoiler alert.
Do you think you could?
Oh. Well. I was about to say, oh, easy.
Oh, personality.
It is really interesting because when I was writing that song, I was YouTubing. There are truck drivers that do vlogs.
Yes.
Like,
oh my
YouTube
gosh.
Vlogs.
I love that.
Believe it or not, it's out there. And was like looking at different Reddit threads, and it does seem like this kind of 21st century like vagabond lifestyle that is really just intriguing to me. I think that you know, New York City, in a way, has a lot of romance to it, and it has a lot of, you know, lore about it. And I think also something like, you know, driving a rig across America for a while, it just seems like a, you know, what's that guy that wrote Moby Dick?
Oh no. Who?
Herman Melville. It seems like just like a very like
like epic?
Yeah. It seems like an epic kind
totally.
Of adventure to me.
Yeah, I agree. And you can make some good money during truck driving. I mean, since you're away
benefits,
from home for
baby.
So long, the benefits are crazy.
Yeah, come on.
Oh, get it. Well, I hope you get the chance in the future, maybe just for one day.
Maybe.
A good experience.
Maybe.
One to add to the book.
I could do that for one day. I could do that for one whole day.
Yo, can I borrow that for a sec?
Yeah.
I love it.
Okay. This next song here is is about trucks. It's Big Rig Blues. Here we go.
Got them big rig blues, got them big rig blues, talking 18 wheels, talking cowboy boots, got the pedal to the metal, hula dancer on the dash, gotta make it from Virginia all the way to Hackensack. It's a 10:45 and I'm driving straight through. I got those big rig blues, got them big rig blues. I've always loved the hum of the rubber on the road, love to roll them windows down, smell that burning diesel smoke, makes me think about the score, makes me think about my wife. I look at all the trees and start to contemplate life. I ain't ever been to heaven, but I'd bet it surely sink into these big rig blues, got them big rig blues, yes. Now it's time to pull into the pilot, for to take myself a break. I gotta get a can of skull, I'm gonna give myself a shave. I'm drinking Folgers in the morning, snorting cocaine every night. Well, that country station sing, praise the Lord, I saw the light. There's a heaven rain a falling, and I'm howling at the moon. I got them big rig blues, got them big rig blues. Dress in Okie City, but the highway here's my home. We got a baby girl named Lil, and my firstborn boy's Johnny. Yes, I'm proud to be living in the U.S. of A, where them kids can walk to school and I can put the bread away. I'm just a good old boy, proud to pay them Teamster dues. I got them big rig blues, got them big rig blues. Appliances to good honest men. And some people like to bake, some people like to teach. And listen, all of that alright, but honey, none of it's for me. So when anybody asks, Lord, I show them straight and smooth. I got them big wing blues, talking 18 wheels, talking cowboy boots. I got the pedal to the metal, hula dancer on the dash. Lord, I landed in the Garden State and it's great to be on back. Now the morning sun arise and shining on the dew. God bless these big rig blues, I got them big rig blues. I got them big rig, big rig.
Big Rig Blues. Okay, after taking the longest time ever to tune out of any of the artists who have ever been here, again, I'm Alexander Wren. You can call me Al. This song is about conspiracy theories.
The only one that's talking in this house. frozen dinners, different rooms. You've been sleeping on the couch. It don't take an Einstein to know that all of you used up its flare gun a long, long time ago. But go on, honey, tell me that this thing's still love and heaven is below us, hell is up above. The sky is green, the grass is blue, tomorrow's in the past. Oh, honey, you love me, and yeah, the earth is flat. Well, you might bring me roses a couple times a year. The other 364, it's like I ain't even here. We could keep on playing make-believe. They say that ignorance is bliss, but hey, ain't this a misery? Go on, honey, tell me that this thing's still love, and heaven is below us, hell is up above. The sky is green, grass is blue, race cars don't go fast. Ah, honey, yeah, you love me, and yeah, the earth is flat. Just ignore Columbus. Hell, it's third grade geography. But go on, honey, tell me that this thing's still love, and heaven is below us, hell is up above. Sky is green, grass is blue, and wedding dress is black. Oh, honey, you love me, keep on telling yourself that. Oh, honey, you love me, and right, the earth is flat.
Okay, I'm gonna switch over to the next guitar. Okay, this is a song about a city that I sometimes visit in my dreams. Thank you. that's that one. So, this one I thought would be perfect for this session, since it's being aired next Monday, correct? Which is President's Day. So this is a this is the political portion of our set list tonight. Yeah, I wrote it for the election this past year.
Well, I am my daddy's boy, and he was his daddy's too. I learned young that in our house, well, there's one thing that we all do: vote blue. Vote blue. That's what we do. I'm for the little man, and I'm for the middle class, and I want some gun reform. Your amendment can kiss my mouth. Vote blue. Our pretty baby, vote blue. For all our children in school. Responsibility. Try our hand at unity. Redirect this history, 'cause tomorrow it's up to us, baby.
Well, you kind of like pushed me into my next question.
Okay.
Perfectly. But you do a lot of research for your songwriting, it seems, or at least you find a lot of like outside material to like fuel you and inspire you, it seems. Am I correct by that?
I would say so.
Yeah.
I'm on my A game, I do. Yeah.
That's the dream, is to do that.
Exactly.
Were you a good student? Were you a straight A student in school as a kid?
No. I was average.
Yeah, yeah.
But it took me a lot of hard work to get just like passing grades.
Totally.
You know what I mean?
So do you think this sort of
solid B student?
Yeah, that's good though.
B is okay.
C's get degrees. B's are above average.
G's get degrees, dude.
Oh wow! Don't tell my mom.
No,
oh,
I won't tell
God.
Your mom. Okay.
But I'm just so intrigued by your process of gathering information. I'm an actor, and we kind of do similar things.
Yeah.
In a way.
Yeah, no, for
in terms
sure.
of research. So where did this aspect of your songwriting process come about?
Yeah, I mean, I think that as a songwriter, you know, one of the things that I've kind of learned the hard way over the years is it's not, your work isn't necessarily like, you know, a 9-to-5 job, to where it's not as linear, even though I am, you know, a type A person, and I do want something that's very linear, mm-hmm. so even though I take an approach that's like sit down and write every day and, you know, put the timer on and see what comes out, I think that most of the best work comes, I don't want to say in an inspired state, but it comes sometimes at inopportune times, or you know, when you're you know, when you're scrolling online and see something about truck drivers, or you know, I think one thing that I'm learning really fuels my inspiration lately is these museums in New York City. I feel like visual art, I'm really intrigued. I'm really intrigued, and I'm drawing a lot of similarities. Like I was just at this right across from the Met. There's this it's like a German Austrian sort of art museum. But anyway, there's this big kind of I don't know, maybe canvas that was 8 feet tall, and it was partially finished, and this guy died while he was painting it. Wow. So it's just this beautiful, you know, beautiful framed thing that's only part of the way finished. And, you know, stuff like that intrigues me, because I think it makes me, you know, think about this parallel. What does it look like in music to, you know, leave something, you know, intentionally, you know, kind of tactile and rough, and what does it mean to not necessarily tie up all the loose ends? And, anyway, all that to say, I think things like that kind of, you know, being out in the world and in you know, living your life kind of adds to this maybe well of wherever inspiration comes from. Wherever,
totally. Yeah. I love that. Yeah, and I
research.
Think it adds so much texture to your work, for sure. I think that's a word that's been coming to my mind listening to, especially your newer things from this year and the year before. There's just a lot of, you can really feel the edges and feel where there are shifts in dynamics, and I really appreciate that.
Wow. Yeah. Well, thank you so much.
Absolutely.
It means a lot.
Totally. And with that said, what can we see from Alexander Wren in 2025? What do you have planned? Where can we see you? Do we have any things lined up? Are you recording anything?
Yeah, I mean, I think that this year, I've kind of taken this approach that's just like a slow and steady, you know, I'm still fully independent, and you know, it's for me that kind of means this slow burn thing. So I think this year the plan is to mostly record more. I think these last two singles were the start of record two.
Nice.
And just keeping on kind of adding to that brick by brick. Like my last album, my first album, I should say, my debut, that came out in 2023, it was kind of put out the same way as far as kind of this brick by brick thing.
Yeah.
And it was really rewarding, and I think fulfilling process. So anyway, more of that. I think if there was any one thing to kind of say look out, it would be for new music.
Love it.
In the year.
I'm excited. That sounds great. I love a slow burn. I mean, whoa, I love a slow burn romance novel moment.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited to get little bits and pieces of that in the coming months.
Yeah.
And you can listen to Internal Jukebox and Big Rig Blues by Alexander Wren on all streaming platforms now. It's a really wonderful duo of singles, and you don't want to miss all that they have going on. So I'm so glad that you got to come on the show today. Thanks for joining me.
Yeah.
Yes, totally. Keep in touch. We're New York City pals now,
yeah.
Officially.
So. New Yorkers.
Boom. We're New Yorkers.
I'm
walking here. Anyway, you've been listening to Fiddlin' Around with Alexander Wren.
W-R-E-N.
Oh, W-R-E-N, like the bird.
Yeah, I have to say, I have not said that, I don't think, in this session, and everyone always asks me, I can't find your music, and it's Alexander W-R-E-N.
Wow.
Alexander Wren. Yeah.
Do you know the bird call for the wren?
I do not.
That might be something to add to your list.
Yeah, that could be.
Just for, like, legitimacy's sake.
Yeah.
This is Fiddlin' Around, Alexander Wren. Thanks for coming on the show.
Cheers.
Yeah, see you next time. Thank you.
Alrighty. Okay, well, it has been a privilege and an honor to be here for my audience of two. Holding you hostage here. Again, I'm Alexander Wren. You can call me Al. All my friends do. This tune is a Talkin' Blues song, and it's called Something to Think About. It goes like this. This here's one of my favorites. I read it in the funny somewhere. The title was Something to Think About, nearly made my thinking cap mess up my hair. Now her story follows a fisherman in a coastal Mexican town and a Harvard grad on vacation. El Sol was smiling down. Now the fisherman was fishing when the grad went walking by. The former smiling ear to ear, something tugged on down his line. Buenos dias, the tourist said while the Mexican reeled her in. Como estás, mi amigo? And the two men got to talking. Well, that's one pretty rainbow fish you got. Tell me, compadre, what's your name? How long have you been at it? How many you catch each day? Well, two or three, the local shrugged, for my family's needs are few. And at this, the American scratched his head. Well then, what else do you do? I just sleep in late. I play with my kids, strum on a guitar, little something like this. Drink with my friends, make love to my wife. Let me tell you, man, I got a pretty good life. Well, then that white man's wheels were turning, as they so often will, and he said, wait. I got a great idea. Make you at least a couple mil. Then Juan got real excited, his hazels wide with fascination. Go on, get a pen and paper, John, I'll break down the situation. Start catching more fish, make some more cash, save it all up, then alakazam, buy a big boat and build a whole fleet. You'll be a rich son of a bitch. Believe you me. And what then? Juan asks. Well, Johnny boy, it's called retirement. You just sleep in late, play with the kids, strum on the guitar, little something like this. Drink with your friends, make love to your wife. Let me tell you, man, you'll have a pretty good life. Well, that's where the story ended, man, so I suppose I'll end the song. It's pretty nifty, ain't it, for solo tres minutos long? You see, money isn't everything, though they'll sure try and tell you that. Nah, here's to living your best life right now and with what you have. Nos vemos. Good night.
You've been listening to Fiddlin' Around with me, Callie Case, on 96.1 FM, The Hound. From the heart of the Bluegrass State to the Big Apple itself, I'm bringing the jam session to your airwaves with the latest and greatest in bluegrass, folk, and Americana. I'll see you next week with a new episode. Follow us on Instagram at fiddlinaround_. And as always, roll on.